Hello, Emma. So we just have a couple of questions to hear a bit about you before you speak to us. Can you tell us very shortly what it is that you do?
So I'm a youth worker here at St Bees, and for the last 2 years I've been a school chaplain at a school in Newham, and in September I'll be children's worker at Hope North London.
Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, speak to her about that after. It's very exciting.
Yeah, we need volunteers.
Yeah, she's already looking for volunteers. Can I ask you one question about you? So what do you like to do in your spare time?
If I've got a day off, I'll probably go and see my family. And I started powerlifting last year, so go to the gym and like lift some weights.
Nice one. Okay, Emma, I'm going to pray for you,
Thank
and then we'll
you.
hear from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Emma. Thank you for all that she's been preparing to share with us today. Lord, I just pray that you would really speak through her to everyone here. Lord, would we hear what you want us to hear? And I pray that you give her boldness to share that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Okay, cool. So before the service, I was being prayed for, and one of the prayers was that I'd have permission to be silly. So if I fall off the platform or anything, like, don't worry. It's just part of the sermon. Okay. Cool. So the series this summer has been Flawed Heroes, and the person that I didn't choose them, I got someone to choose for me, is Paul the Apostle, Paul of Tarsus, Saul. I wondered what you guys know about Paul, who he is to you. Is he the guy that wants women to stay quiet in church? Maybe you've heard about his transformation and you really relate to it. Maybe you don't know much about him. Maybe you've heard quite a lot of negative things about him. So today I'm going to talk to you about Paul, the theologian, the leader, the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, the father figure, the mentor, and the martyr. I read, like, tried to do loads of research on him. And no other person apparently has more influence on Christian thinking than Paul, and that he's a true godfather of modern Christianity, and he is known worldwide even by like non-Christians. So Paul's conversion, it's one of the most famous in church history. Luke mentions it three times in the book of Acts. In Acts, we see it says, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Paul's conversion took place on account of an intervention by Jesus himself while he was in the middle of breathing murderous threats. Every time Paul is mentioned before his conversion, he is pictured as a bitter, angry bully, someone who really seriously opposes Christ. And in this bitterness, that leads him on the road to Damascus, determined to catch up with those who have escaped his persecution before. And he's armed with this authority that he's got for the synagogues in Damascus to be able to persecute those that he finds. So if he finds any, whether men, women, to take them as prisoners in Jerusalem. So that journey would have taken him about a week and 150 miles. He'd have to have been really determined, really bitter, really on his focused on his mission to persecute Christians to do that. But ironically, that is where Jesus finds him. One commentary I read has reflected that Paul's conversion that such a unique individual would have such a unique conversion. So while dramatic, Paul's transformation is a reminder that this change is still available for us today. For like Paul, we can have a personal encounter with Jesus and surrender to him. In Acts 9, we see the Lord present to Ananias, who's a disciple. And in this, I see Paul's reputation precedes him because the Lord says, "Ananias," and Ananias replies, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. God has chosen Paul. He's his chosen instrument. Like Paul, we can have and experience God's sovereign grace and be used by him. Paul later, in reference to his conversion in Galatians, says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me that I might preach among the Gentiles. God did this because he was pleased. Some things to take away from the conversion, just some things that really stood out for me when I was reading through Acts. We know from Acts that the conversion would have taken place around noon, and that this flashing light from heaven that caused him to stop so abruptly must have been so outstanding and shocking at such a time as noon. We know that Paul was not alone. The men travelling with Saul and Paul were speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. And that says to me, and it highlights that in that moment, what the Lord wanted to say was only for Paul's ears. So having a look at Paul's character after the conversion, we know from Acts 22:10 that Paul's conversion was instant. He said, what should I do, Lord? He was humble and submitted to what the Lord wanted. He says, my companions led me by hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. Here we see Paul being led blind into Damascus, where previously he was the leader, he was the one leading others. He must have been helpless, vulnerable. And we know that he was blinded and fasted for 3 days. And I wonder what would have been going through his mind then, in this helpless, lost state, doing something as natural to us as Christians and being in prayer. Before his transformation, we see Paul as a confident, fearless, zealous and passionate man who was really uncompromising. And I feel like we see these characteristics in him still after his conversion, but the focus and the direction and the drive is different. It's directed at proclaiming the name of Jesus and spreading the good news to inspire others, to lead and inspire others to follow Jesus the way he is. One of the things that I really liked about reading Paul, I think before I had a few presumptions about him as someone who's really holy, who I could never be like or couldn't really relate to his character and his conviction. But I love that he was so encouraging of others and really wanted to lead others and was about the right way, teaching the right message, the right doctrine. And I think that after his conversion, he became so much more like Jesus in the ways that he led others and the way that he was approachable. In Corinthians, when he says, to the weak I became weak, to win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. One of the key things that stood out for me about Paul was his huge capacity to encourage others. So I wonder what changes you see in yourself, just like Paul, since you've met Jesus. What has changed in your heart, in your life, whether it's been internal, whether it's been external. Last month in youth, we had a worship night and we had some interactive sort of worship things for them to engage with. And we had two phrases. One said, I was, but because of Jesus, I am. And it was so beautiful to see their reflections of the things that they'd said, like fearless, successful, I'm seen, I'm known. And it was just really amazing to know that they've had that transformation. I think I've definitely been transformed by Jesus. I was thinking earlier that there was some of it that was instant, but it just took my head a lot longer to match up with my heart and my actions. I don't know if that's the same for some of you. But I thought about how has my life changed? So I'm just going to share a little bit with you. I was reflecting on how I think I've become more intentional as a leader, and I'm more aware of the power and the impact that I have through Jesus, not through me, but through Jesus. I thought that I don't lean on my feelings anymore, but I trust God's promises and the words that him and others have prophesied over me. So I don't know if you've seen this meme that says, was it a bad day or was it a bad 5 minutes and you dragged it out for a whole day or like a whole week? That's probably what I would have been like before. So I'm not in my feelings anymore. I confess my sins to trusted sisters in Christ, and I don't dwell in a well of shame and guilt and get caught up in all the things that I can't do, forgetting what God has already done through me. And I look for God everywhere in everything, because I know that I can't afford to dwell and deny what has already been done for me on the cross. I'm more comfortable and uncompromising in how I talk about God and my faith. And my chaplaincy job is in a multi-faith chaplaincy, so there's young people of all faiths. And I think through that role, it's made me just be more fearless about introducing faith, saying, so what's your faith? And not being afraid to share my faith, my experience, and who Jesus is to me. I'm okay with the mystery of not knowing everything that God has planned for me. Like, I'm all right with him being a bit mysterious and just trusting him. And more and more, I'm able to turn to praise first in struggles and trauma. So I wonder, for you, what is your I was, but because of Jesus, I am? Why don't a few of us just share and call out what you were before, but because of Jesus, you are.
I was hopeless, but because of Jesus, I have great hope.
Praise God for all these transformations. Amen. At the heart of Paul's message is one of grace, redemption, humility, suffering, leadership, maturity, and doing what is right, all in the name and the power of Jesus. In Ephesians, Paul constantly talks about God's grace. It's mentioned about 11 or 12 times. Each of us has grace given to us, for it is by grace, the riches of his grace. Where in your life do you need to welcome God's grace for your transformation to take place? God wants to transform you into the person that you were created to be. What do you discount about yourself and its capacity to be used? Where or what are you holding on to save face, to preserve yourself, to avoid looking silly? This is actually already in the message. But actually risking not growing in Christ and risking not having a close relationship with him because you're like holding on to it. Being right, or your anger, or any of the things that you guys said. For like Paul, we can all have a personal encounter with Jesus and surrender to him. And Paul talks a lot about not conforming to the patterns of the world. I just want to read a short, long-ish quote. We are told to think for ourselves first and are shown how to get on top by using and manipulating others, by intimidating before being intimidated. We are told how to be successful and how to be number one. We are counseled to find meaning in the heritage of our family and ethnic roots, with the expectation that finding out where we came from will help explain where we are and perhaps where we are headed. But such approaches give only a psychological gloss that helps cover but does not help remove the underlying problem of the meaning in life. Others set about trying to establish their worth by works, righteousness, some even becoming heavily involved in church work and other Christian activities. They look for praise and commendation, and before long they are entrapped in the same kinds of hypocritical religious games that characterize the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day. As their self-satisfaction grows, their spiritual lives shrivel, because such effort feeds the flesh and cripples the soul. But every human effort at self-improvement or self-satisfaction, no matter what its religious covering may be, is subject to the law of diminishing returns. Genuine and lasting satisfaction is never achieved, and increased achievement only brings increased desire. More importantly, the guilt and fear that cause the dissatisfaction are suppressed but not alleviated. The longer such superficial games are played, the deeper becomes the depression, anxiety, and feelings of guilt. The only way a person can achieve a true sense of self-worth, meaning, and significance is to have a right relationship to his or her creator. A person without Christ has no spiritual value, no standing before God, no purpose or meaning in the world. He is like chaff which the wind drives away. A Christian, however, is a child of God and a joint heir in Jesus Christ. If he has no comprehension of those blessings, he needs to understand the position he already has in his or her Saviour. So I'm going to ask Andy to come up so you can respond. Just want to end by reading a bit of scripture and then pray for us. So, brothers and sisters, I urge you, in view of God's mercy and grace, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, we praise you for the cross. We praise you for all the transformations that you've done in our lives, the small ones, the big ones, the instant ones, the long-winded ones. We praise you. And Lord, we ask for more transformations, for more experience of your grace. And we just ask that you help us to put down those things that are getting in the way of a deeper, more intimate, a more real relationship with you. Amen.